from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum in our opening hour this morning, many Bay Area canine owners are angry over the latest dog management plan for the Golden Gate National Recreation Area. Dog owners had hoped the National Park Service would adjust its controversial draft plan, which restricts dog access in areas it controls, including San Francisco's Crissy Field, Ocean Beach, and Fort Funston. But most of the changes remain, and the Park Service says the rules are needed to protect wildlife and vegetation. We'll take up the debate. We'll hear both sides. That's next, after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's Forum program. On Friday of last week, the National Park Service released new proposed regulations governing dog walking on and off leashes in the Golden Gate National Recreation Area. It's a revision of the federal dog management plan that was released back in January of 2011. The new plan allows more leashed areas and permits dogs to run without leashes in new areas of Fort Funston and Fort Mason, but sticks with most of the provisions in the original plan, which has angered many dog owners. I want to discuss the new plan in this opening hour of Forum, and let me tell you who is joining us here in studio. I want to welcome first Howard Levitt, who is Director of Communications and Partnerships with the Golden Gate National Recreation Area. Good morning.
Thank you, Michael.
Glad to have you. Also, good morning to Sally Stevens, who's here with us in studio. She chairs the San Francisco Dog Owners Group. Welcome.
Good morning.
And we'll say good morning to Neil Desai, Associate Director of the National Parks Conservation Association. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you all for joining us. And Howard Levitt, if I can, I'd like to begin with you and just kind of get an outline of, what's different here?
Well, this is a second draft of a plan, as you said in your introduction. The first draft was issued in early 2011. Following that draft, we received about 8,000 comments from 4,700 individual commenters. And we've spent the last 2 years evaluating those comments, looking at our original proposal from 2011, making changes that made sense in light of the comments, and, of course, in light of our mandates to hopefully create a park that has a variety of experiences and ultimately a dog plan that's understandable and supported.
Well, we're going to hear, of course, from Sally Stevens and no doubt others who feel that many of those comments were ignored. And what would you say to that, at least in the beginning here? If not ignored, just kind of bypassed.
I would say that that's completely untrue. We reviewed each and every one of those comments, and we weighed them against the proposal we had produced back in 2011. And as you say, in many cases, we affirmed the recommendation we'd made then. We did make some adjustments, and in some cases, some pretty significant adjustments.
Let's talk about those. What's significant?
Well, you mentioned Fort Funston, and in Fort Funston, for example, we increased the area available for off-leash voice-controlled dog use. We received a lot of comments that talked about the difficulty of enjoying the park off-leash from the upland down to the beach, and we created a corridor that allows that opportunity to occur. And that was really a direct result of comments that we received. And we, of course, weighed them against our mandates to have a variety of experiences available for all visitors, and we were able to make that change. And that's just one example. But we paid great attention to the comments we received.
There's still, in fact, now in this new regulation draft, you're banning dogs from East Beach, which is the most popular off-beach section, I believe. But there's still a lot of run free in the eastern part of the airfield and the middle part of the beach. So I guess that signifies, at least to many, what you're saying, an attempt to kind of balance.
Yes, I think it does. And Crissy Field, for example, other than the dune areas and the wildlife protection area at the far west end, people can enjoy Crissy Field with their dogs on leash in almost all locations. East Beach, you mentioned, yes, that's an area that we've designated for no dogs. And, of course, that's the area that receives the highest intensity of visitation, particularly by families, families with young children, picnickers. Last weekend, which was an exceptional weekend, those kinds of weekends do occur with regularity, it was chock-a-block full of people, and it just makes sense that small area of Chrissy would be an area where dogs would not be allowed. So to enjoy Chrissy with your dog, if you're looking for an off-leash experience, you'd need to put the leash on in the parking lot, walk about 100 yards across the footbridge, head out to the beach, and then you have a half mile of beach that's available for voice control off-leash dog enjoyment.
And we should mention that this is still open for public comments for 90 days. That will close on the 14th of December, and there will be three more public meetings.
Michael, if I can just correct you, it's the 4th of December.
I'm sorry, the 4th of December. 2013 was in my head. The 4th of December of 2013. There's also some concern, though, about just how overcrowded things are going to be in the neighborhood. I know you can't predict that, but at least address that for the moment, if you would.
Well, we had received comments from some of the neighboring jurisdictions, including some people from San Francisco, including the city itself, that our plan would need to consider whether there would be impacts from our decisions on national park land on some of the neighboring jurisdictions. And we took a deeper look at that, and we found out it's difficult to kind of speculate what people would do. We did a visitor survey at some of our key destinations. We asked people, if we implemented one alternative or another, would this cause them to leave the park and go elsewhere? And it was pretty inconclusive. But nevertheless, because this was a detailed environmental analysis, we did consider those possibilities.
And again, Howard Levitt here in studio directs communications and partnerships for the GGNRA, the Golden Gate National Recreation Area. Sally Stevens chairs the San Francisco Dog Owners Group. And let's sort of cut to the chase here. You guys feel betrayed. That's a strong word to use. Why?
When they took the public comments on the draft statement 2 years ago, the public comment was overwhelmingly opposed to the GGNRA's plans. It was like 3-1 opposed it. We expected, therefore, for there to be significant changes as a result of that, and we did not get that. What we got was essentially the same plan with some kind of minor changes. There's no off-leash anywhere in San Mateo County. There's only one place in Marin that will allow off-leash. There's still cutting where dogs can be compared to where they are today by over 90%. And so this is not a, you know, and there's still no credible scientific evidence that they're included to support any claims that dogs cause significant impacts. And therefore,
no proof on environmental impact.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. The SEIS, like the draft one, is full of what may happen, could happen, might happen, but there's very little actual evidence that shows that any of these impacts do happen. But what's kind of interesting to realize is that this is actually the dog plan is part of a larger plan to essentially restrict access in the GGNRA and to radically change the way the usage of this area is. They came out with a management plan at the same time 2 years ago that basically wants to manage 90% of all of their land as natural zones, which would be managed for, and this is a direct quote, a backcountry visitor experience, which they define as low use levels, controls on access, and minimal amenities, emphasizing self-reliance of the visitors. That makes sense in Yosemite. It makes no sense in an urban park. And whether they like it or not, these are urban parks.
Urban parks under national park jurisdiction, however, right?
Under federal jurisdiction, yeah. Yes. Yes. It is. You have to keep in mind, it is a national recreation area. The enabling legislation that created the GGNRA was all about maintaining the needed recreational open space. It's all about recreation. The mandate is there in the enabling legislation. And any changes in management to, manage it as if it was Yosemite can't go against the enabling legislation.
There's also concern, though, and environmentalists have expressed this, about dogs trampling vegetation, about scaring birds, about two-thirds of what used to be a certain area has become a bird sanctuary, I think, if I'm not mistaken, and just imperiling wildlife. In other words, there's some real concerns here, as I'm sure you would concede, environmental concerns.
The problem is that there's no actual evidence that there's anything negative happening. I mean, you look at, for example, Ocean Beach and the snowy plovers. There's absolutely no correlation between the numbers of them, which is usually the way people define populations, and whether dogs were on or off leash. In fact, the year when there were the most plovers there was when dogs were off leash back in 94. And so it's, there There's a lot of, like I said, this document is full of what could happen. Dogs might trample. Dogs, this, you know, they could do this. This might, may happen. But there's no evidence or very little evidence in the actual document that any of those things ever have happened in the GGNRA or that they're happening now or that they will happen in the future.
Some might say there's more concern, Neil Desai, about hang glider guys, you know, crashing and things of that sort. I mean, is this? I know this is an attempt to create balance, but from your perspective, and Neil Desai again is associate director of the National Parks Conservation Association, does this really overshadow what city parks are supposed to be and what they're supposed to provide recreationally?
Well, part of answering that is putting this place into context, and we're talking about a very special area that Americans, whether you're from the Bay Area or Boston, love. They treasure this place, and it's home to some nationally significant cultural, historical, and natural wonders. I mean, we have Demuir Woods, we have the Presidio, the Golden Gate. And you talked about some of the rare animals. Well, the GGNRA is a hope spot for the recovery of rare animals. I mean, listeners may be interested in knowing and maybe even surprised that the GGNRA actually has more threatened and endangered species than Yosemite, Yellowstone, Sequoia, Kings Canyon, and Death Valley combined.
Just for the sake of many listeners who hear us on Sirius who are out of the Bay Area, we're talking about 18,000 acres of parkland and a boundary of about 80,000 acres that covers San Francisco, San Mateo, and Marin
counties. We're talking about a significant area, but it's also a national park, and it's a national park that's one of 401 in this national park system. And what that means is we have a broad base of users here. And you mentioned hang gliders. You know, you have kiteboarders. You have, dog walkers, bikers.
Surfers.
Exactly. You have a wide variety. And what we're talking about here is an attempt to address some conflicts that have been going on for years in an attempt to bring some balance and some equity so that, if you want to have an experience that does not include off-leash dogs or dogs, you can be certain that, you know what, I can do that. If I bring my family out to the beach and have a picnic, I can do that. But right now we have dog-on-dog conflict. We have dog-on humans, adults and children's, dogs on wildlife. These are conflicts that are occurring. We need to solve this problem.
So you're saying it's not a dog. They're not supposed to be dog parks. They're supposed to be parks for everybody. Isn't that what you're saying?
Exactly. And that's a motto. And I actually I disagree with Sally that says that the Park Service is working to limit visitors. I would say that this park is a model for ones across the park system in welcoming visitors. I mean, the millions of dollars invested to make trails more accessible, print brochures in different languages. I mean, this is an attempt to increase access, not just for the resident here that may have a pet, but for the person who's coming across the country to visit the natural and the historical and the cultural wonders that we have here.
And Sally Stevens, you say what to that?
Well, I think there's a number of issues that were raised, and I think Neil often mentions there's more threatened and endangered species, but you have to keep in mind that the numbers are a little inflated because, for example, they say that the GGNRA is the home of humpback whales because a few of them occasionally swim by. I would argue that's not really a valid statement and should be counted in that. It kind of makes you a little skeptical of some of those claims. And besides which, dogs have been off leash and only ever allowed off leash on 1% of the GGNRA's land. And they've been doing that for, 40 years now, or more than that, actually, decades. And the fact that all these threatened and endangered species are there, to me, tells me that the dogs really aren't bothering them, that they can coexist, and that, in fact, they do coexist. I think that when you talk about balance and equity, again, keep in mind that today, dogs are only allowed in 1% of the land. That's 99% of the GGNRA that they're not allowed in. And if this proposed plan goes through, there'll be 99.9% of the GGNRA land that people with dogs will not be allowed on. Keep in mind, the dogs don't go to the park by themselves. These are people that are going to the park with their dogs, and they're going to be denied access to 99.9% of the land. And I would argue that's not particularly fair or balanced and equity. I think that the whole issue of conflicts is an interesting one, because if you look at the actual numbers of safety incidents and, you know, citations and all that sort of stuff, numbers have stayed remarkably level throughout the last decade. There's no major increase in incidents. And when you look at the total, there's like an average of like about 13,000 incidents every year in the GGNRA. And there's maybe at most 400 that involve dogs. And of those, at least half are just leash violations. So it's not that the dog did anything wrong. It's just that they were in a place where they're supposed to be on leash and they weren't.
Of course, some of them got a lot of ink in the newspapers, like a dog and a policeman on a horse and those episodes that we've talked about here on Forum.
Yeah, and that was – and the thing that's interesting about that, and I actually commend the GGNRA on this, was that they – took that dog owner to the SFPD's Vicious and Dangerous Dog Unit, which is a whole mechanism to deal with any serious incidents involving dogs. So there is a mechanism to deal with the serious problems that already exist. And I do commend the GGNRA for using that mechanism, and the result of which is that the dog was taken away from an irresponsible owner and is no longer at the GGNRA, and there's not a problem with that.
The problem may be more with the dog owners than the dogs, I'm afraid. I think we might all agree on that. But Howard Levitt, when Sally Stevens talks about 99.9% not allowing dogs, that sounds pretty disproportionate, at least on the face of it.
Well, the areas that we considered for in our dog management plan, 22 areas in the park, these are the areas that people visit, the areas that people love. And probably not surprisingly, everybody loves the same areas.
And a lot of these people love their dogs and love to go there with their dogs.
A lot of them do, absolutely. And our plan, what we propose in our plan, is a range of experiences available to visitors, including off-leash dog use, including on-leash dog use. And this is important. I think Sally, I think, has maybe a little bit of trouble acknowledging that on-leash dog use is actually also a very legitimate way to enjoy the park with your dog. I think for Sally, off-leash or nothing. Our park is by far the most dog-friendly park of any in the national park system. The plan we have proposed has 7 distinct areas available for off-leash use. That's exactly 7 more than any other national park in the system. And these are areas that we felt could absorb off-leash dog use, could tolerate off-leash dog use in a way that protects resources, because that certainly is a fundamental mandate of the Park Service, but also still allows a variety of visitor experiences for other people who want to enjoy the park in other ways as well.
I think Sally was also suggesting, though, that maybe applying the national park paradigms to some of these areas that we're talking about is not necessarily appropriate.
This is a national park in an urban area, but it's also a national recreation area, and one has only to visit our park on any given day of the year to see almost every conceivable kind of appropriate recreation in parks. Hopefully you won't see off-road motorcycling, because that's inappropriate, but you'll see people enjoying hiking, bicycling, jogging, beachcombing, walking with their dog on leash, walking with their dog off leash. A whole galaxy, a whole array of visitor experiences in this park. So to say that we're somehow or other anti-recreation is completely disingenuous.
Well, I think that if you talk about this wonderful array of uses of the park, well, this is happening now. Why do we need to do radical change in park usage and park management if it's all going, if these wonderful things are happening there already? And I think that this is an urban park, and the Bay Area has a very kind of unique culture, I think, in many ways, and a lot of issues.
Yeah, you got more dog owners in San Francisco than you have children, actually.
Yeah, it's true. And I think that the Bay Area is very dog-friendly. The Bay Area, I mean, the whole issue—
Let me correct that. More dogs than children.
Yes, yeah. And the Bay Area was the genesis, the place where the whole no-kill movement came from, about shelters, and, you know, not euthanizing animals in shelters, things like that. So we have a real culture. What we're seeing in this plan is the federal government coming in and trying to impose on the Bay Area culture that is very much in evidence in the GGNRA parks, a model of management that does not in any way match what the Bay Area people want. And again, we saw it in the public comment, 3-1 against.
Well, you were going to say something here, Howard Levitt.
Yeah, I was going to say that you'd brought up something earlier, Michael. You said this is not a dog park, and that's true. This is a national recreation area, a unit of the national park system. It constitutes a national park in an urban area. And so we welcome dogs in our park. And in fact, the plan basically enshrines that for the future. One of the alternatives that was put forth at the very beginning of this process was indeed to ban dogs in the park. We've rejected that notion. We believe that off-leash and on-leash recreation can be appropriate uses of the park. But we feel, too, that a variety of experiences need to be accommodated in the park. And it turns out there are people who actually come to the park and hope for a dog-free experience.
Well, actually, I want to go to that with you, Neil Desai, if I may. I mean, do these new provisions have, forgive the expression, teeth to them? I mean, there are a lot of people who will say, I see dogs running wild and they're not supposed to be in this place and nobody's enforcing it and so forth. Are they going to have any more enforcement behind them?
Enforcement has always been a concern. To assume that voice control works on all situations.
Voice control? You see people yelling at their dogs and
right.
The dogs just keep running the other way.
It really is about providing a balance of experiences, and science is just simply not going to resolve the fact that your dog ate my sandwich when I was at a picnic and, you're calling out for your dog and it runs over and one paw is in the hummus, the other one is in the chips and the mouth is on the sandwich. Listen, this stuff happens. And the way to deal with it, I think, which is a reasonable way, I think the Park Service proposing it, is to actually give the public some level of order and clarity. And one thing that the Park Service can do more of, which we're going to urge them to, is make it clear that if a visitor comes to the park and they want an off-leash dog experience, you know what? They know where to get it. If they want an on-leash dog experience, they know where to get that. And if I don't want any of that, I know where to get that, and the way to solve that, which the Park Service has not done yet, I believe, is to make the off-leash dog areas fenced in. That makes it extremely clear for dog owners. Some dog owners don't want to have other dogs next to them. They're running around. They could be potentially harassing them, attacking them. It's not just for the wildlife. It's not just for the humans, but it's also
for the dogs.
Other dogs.
Well, let's do this. We'll get some public comment from you, our listeners. In fact, an opportunity for you to weigh in here and join this conversation and let us know what you're thinking about tightening the leash on dogs in the Golden Gate Recreation Area, National Recreation Area. And there are many of you who have had personal experiences of one sort or another may want to simply weigh in. In fact, let me tell you how you can do that. Our toll-free number is available. It's 866-733-6786. You can join us now by phone. Again, toll free, 866-733-6786. We obviously welcome your phone call, so feel free to join us. You can also email us. The email address is forum@kqed.org, or join us by going to our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment. And of course, you can tweet us as well. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. We're with Neil Desai. He's Associate Director of National Parks Conservation Association, Sally Stevens, Chair of the San Francisco Dog Owners Group, and Howard Levitt, Director of Communication and Partnerships with the Golden Gate National Recreation Area. What are your thoughts? We'll hear them, and we'll hear feelings as well, certainly. And this is one of those areas that people have very strong feelings, to put it mildly. We'll get as many of you on and hear from as many of you as we can. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Many Bay Area dog owners are angry over the latest dog management plan for the National Golden Gate Recreation Area. Dog owners had hoped that the National Park Service would adjust its controversial draft plan, which severely restricted dog access, strike out that severely, which restricted dog access in areas it controls, including San Francisco's Crissy Field, Ocean Beach, and Fort Funston. But most of the changes remain, and the Park Service says the rules are needed to protect wildlife and vegetation. Neil Desai is with us from the National Parks Conservation Association, Sally Stevens from the San Francisco Dog Owners Group, and Howard Levitt from the Golden Gate National Recreation Area. We asked on Facebook for park goers and nature lovers to let us know what you think of the Golden Gate Recreation Area's latest dog management plan. Let me read just a couple of responses. Rory writes, "Most dog walkers have no idea how to voice control their dogs. Leash laws are a good thing for the safety of all." Jacob says, "Good idea. Animals should be regulated. Not all dogs are domesticated to be human-friendly." And let me just read some emails and web comments. And, of course, you can email us, forum@kqed.org, or post any questions or comments you have right onto our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment. Stuart writes, "I've been bitten by a dog on voice control. Dogs are animals. Dogs must be on a leash to really control them or on other people in public parks." Mark from the Mission says, "These dog owners are the squeakiest of all wheels, but represent a small fraction of park users. Frankly, the dogs and their owners are scary, horrible, and ruin the parks. Dog feces are everywhere. They want every rule and regulation to favor them. Many of us believe dogs shouldn't even be in parks. They should be very happy with the new rules." And on our website, these are all pro-GGNRA. I'll read the antis after we read these. Listener writes, "San Francisco contains an exceptionally large number of safe, legal off-leash dog parks, at least 28, and in a city that is only 7 square miles, that gives San Francisco the highest density of dog parks of any city in the nation, probably the world. San Francisco has more off-leash dog parks than Oakland, San Jose, Sacramento, and Los Angeles combined. Yet anti-leash groups like SF Dog aren't satisfied. They continue to claim that there's not enough space for off-leash dogs to roam in San Francisco, despite the evidence. Indeed, Sally Stevens, the self-appointed leader of the anti-leash organization, sent an email missive demanding even more off-leash areas in San Francisco's parks and attacking San Francisco's award-winning and progressive natural area program because it doesn't adhere to her anti-leash philosophy." Brad says, "The new plan seems just as unfair as the previous plan." This is the other side. "The plan should include more off-leash area. The park is big enough for dog lovers and those not so fond of them. Let's keep the park a place for recreation and exercise, national recreation area. Dogs and pets in general enrich our lives and improve our health. How does the Park Service able to afford this three-ring circus in light of sequester cuts? How much is being spent on advertising and public relations? And for the record, I pay taxes." Another listener, Laura, says, "I live in Muir Beach, and I can say from firsthand experience that it's human activity that impacts the park experience here, from people boogie boarding in the lagoon to dirty diapers left on the beach to people ducking into the bushes on the lagoon to relieve themselves to people scampering up hillsides and dunes. The dogs are not the problem, and there is never a park ranger around to even stop these human-caused problems. In all my years of growing up and living here, I've never seen any problems between dogs and people. We are all getting along just fine. Lastly, as a woman who hikes alone, having my dog with me is essential. Taking away even leash dog walking from the trails around Muir Beach virtually traps residents with no safe hiking opportunities on the land that surrounds us and is paid for by our tax dollars." And here's Felicia, who says, "The GGNRA's plan to get rid of people with dogs is just the first step in a planned strategy to force most people off of their land so a lucky few can have a solitary visitor experience. There's a reason it's called the GGNRA National Recreation Area, not the GGNRA National Park, as in Yellowstone National Park and Yosemite National Park. No, sorry, GGNRA, your local San Francisco urban areas are not remote wilderness areas, let alone your agreement with San Francisco not to change the recreation capacities when San Francisco gave the land to you." And here's another argument against the present change of rules or regulations. Susan writes, "So you have two people supporting the dog management plan and only one, Sally Stevens, opposed." And by the way, this is not to be unfair here. It's to have representation from National Parks Conservation Association as well as from the GGNRA and from the dog side of things. And Sally Stevens, by the way, is quite capable, as you can well tell. She says, though, that's two against one. How is that fair? If they all get equal time to express their opinions, you've already stacked the deck against Sally. Great job. Maybe you should go into politics. Just reading what this person's saying. And then she says, "The bottom line is 99% of open space in the Bay Area is already restricted to off-leash recreation. Dog haters want it all, it seems. So where are the 150,000 dogs living in San Francisco to go to get their exercise? Anywhere, that's where. I intend to take my dog off-leash in any park in the city. And if people complain, I'll explain the dog recreation areas are severely cut and we've no place else to go. If I get a ticket, I'll pay it. If you can thank GGNRA for this mess and lack of leadership by our Board of Supervisors." Stephen from South City writes, I'm in support of off-leash dog walking in the GGNRA and against GGNRA's proposed new plan, specifically the effect it will have on Fort Funston, which will lose nearly 90% of its existing off-leash dog walking areas. And so it goes. Well, let's get right to your calls here and not tarry on that. First caller is Brianne from San Francisco. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to comment about the environmental impact that the dogs may have. And I know that Susan said that there were no studies showing that there were any impacts that dogs had on, any of the lands or anything. But as someone who has dogs, has had dogs my whole life, I can see, the wear and tear to my lawn and other areas in my backyard. And also, there are three dog parks in my area. And whether they are turf or dirt, you can see the impact that the dogs have on those areas, from pitting in the dirt and things like that to, the lawn being worn away and just things of that nature. So to say that they don't have an impact, I think, is, maybe just a lack of study. Has anybody ever really gone out and looked at that and done a specific study for the long-term effects of having dogs in a specific area? And then also...
Wait, Brianne, let me get Sally Stevens' response to that, because you're talking about something as a dog owner, and I assume dog lover, that to you is obvious, the digging up of greenery and the like. Sally Stevens?
Yeah, I think that being a responsible dog owner is a responsibility, and that means that you don't let your dog off leash if it doesn't come when you call. That means you don't let your dog dig in a park. You don't let your dog run up to people that you don't know. That's just common sense and common courtesy. Not everybody does that, but then not every human is nice to other humans. So it's, unfortunately, there's some irresponsible people, some of whom also happen to have dogs. But I think that the issue of city parks is that the city parks are significantly smaller in size than the GGNRA units. And so what the issue of impacts you might see in a city park is because you have a lot of dogs in a very small area. And if the GGNRA closes large segments of their parks to people with dogs and people then move into the city parks, it's only going to get a lot worse. I mean, the classic example, which is in fact a worst case scenario, was Tsunami Friday when the Japanese earthquake, and they closed Ocean Beach and Fort Funston to all visitors because they were concerned about tsunami, which in fact was the right thing to do for safety reasons. But at Pine Lake, which is the nearest city park off-leash area to both of those areas, there was an almost tenfold increase in the number of dogs that were observed in the middle of the morning. And so, again, that's a worst-case scenario because those parks were completely closed. But I think that it's very instructive and illustrative of what's going to happen is that a lot of people are going to be leaving. On-leash experience is not the same as an off-leash experience. And if you're used to walking with your dog, or if you're an older person and are a little bit concerned about being pulled in any way, you want to have your dog off-leash. And again, if it's under voice control, that's rule number one. And so I think that some of, in your backyard, that's a really small area. And if you have dogs running around there, yeah, the land really can't recover. But in larger areas, it's less likely to be as much damage.
Well, Brianne, you had another point. And quickly, if you could, because there are a lot of people who want on here.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. So what I was going to say was just that, I have 3/4 acre, actually. And right now we only have one dog. But just the amount of people that, 4,700 people commented, and wanted changes and whatnot. And, as much as, I am a dog lover and I would love to have my dog, roaming and things like that, how many more people are coming who, I also have a young child, and I want to be able to take her to areas, families, and just even a single person maybe wants to go to a park, how many dog lovers versus, other people who are at the parks, so you have to make everybody happy. And I think that there are more people who are using the park without dogs than the ones that do.
Okay. I thank you, Brianne. And I want to get another caller right away. Lisa, that's you. Hi.
Hi. I was just calling. I'm a dog owner, and I consider myself a responsible dog owner. Even we live near the open space, and we always have our dog on leash no matter what. But part of my comment, I guess, is when I go to parks and the national recreation areas, I almost find it more annoying that parents aren't controlling their children. And I hate to say that because I know it's controversial, but if I'm sitting down having a picnic, enjoying myself, and kids are running through, it's almost like dogs have to be controlled because they're dogs, but nobody talks about the children that are, you know, throwing trash and messing up things and being loud and annoying. And I guess that's my comment.
All right. Thank you for the comment. And what about children who are causing problems? Howard Levin?
Well, I think visitor behavior is really an individual responsibility. That's absolutely true. And there are responsible dog owners, and Sally represents a group that are largely responsible park users. And parents do have a responsibility to kind of instruct their kids on how to behave in parks. But our plan has no proposal to ban kids.
Well, we got that on the record. We'll get another caller on. Peter, join us. Hi.
Hi. This is a great talk you're having today. I was really happy to tune in and hear it. I live up in Oakland, and we have an incredible system here with East Bay Regional Parks where dogs are allowed off-leash on the trails. And as a dog owner, I've loved that. But I got to say, it's the dog owners and the dogs, and they do screw it up. You see people let their dogs go wherever they want. They don't pick up their bag, or they'll put it in a bag 5 miles out on the trail and then just leave it there like they think the janitors are going to clean it up. They take the ball launchers, they launch the balls up into the hills and let the dogs go wherever they want. And so I support the GG, sorry, I don't know all the initials. I support the decision because it's really the dog owners that are messing all this stuff up. And it, saying that there's no proof of impact, I'm sorry, I just don't buy it. You walk into the trailhead in Redwood Park and it smells awful because people don't pick up, and doesn't matter how far in you go, you see the dogs are just messing it up, and it ruins it for my dog, and it ruins it for everybody's dogs, and it changes the experience if you just want to take a hike. So I think, unfortunately, until we can train people better, I think the dogs should stay on leash wherever possible, and that's what we do with my dog.
Peter, thank you for the comments. Sally Stevens, let me go back to you on this. This often comes up. I'm sure, as Howard Levin said, you and your group may all be responsible dog owners, but there are plenty out there who are not, and they're the problem. They give you a bad name.
Certainly that is true. They do give the responsible people a bad name in the same way that the parents who let their kids run around that woman referenced earlier give parents a bad name. I think that it's not a question of who's responsible, who's not, that sort of thing. You can't base policy on anecdotes. And you have to have scientific studies which actually show impacts and significant impacts and impacts that can't be mitigated. And that's what's missing from the work that the GGNRA has done here. It's everybody has anecdotal stories about everything. And, good, bad, no matter what the subject, no matter who the topic. But you need to have scientifically credible studies. It's supposed to be an environmental impact report. It's supposed to be scientific. And you have to have studies that show actual proved impacts that can't be mitigated else in other ways. And they really don't have that. I just would also add quickly, there's an awful lot of parents with both kids and dogs who go to the GGNRA. It's not one or the other.
Neil Desai, I want to say something about the lack of scientific backing or scientific studies here, which Sally's referenced at least a few times already.
A couple things. I don't agree that's the case. And I also don't agree, and this is just a matter of fact, that these decisions that park managers go through have to always be based on science. A lot of times they're based on values of society that are trade-offs. And in this case, we have a situation where we have many different types of users with different types of experiences that the Park Service is trying to put forward. And by the way, I'm not sure if we actually support what the Park Service has proposed. We definitely support their efforts, but it's not 2-1 here. I think the Park Service can be doing more. And science is not going to resolve many of the challenges and the user conflicts that are going on. I mean, there's a 2003 survey, national survey of guide dog users. 89% of users said that their dogs have been interfered with by off-leash dog users. 42% said their dogs have been attacked. science is not going to resolve that. This is just something that we need to methodically look at the landscape, try to provide some level of balance. And frankly, in the end, everyone is not going to be getting everything they want, but such is a compromise when dealing with public lands and national parks. And we see this all around the country. I mean, in Yellowstone, they're going through a debate multi-years of snowmobile access. And there are visitors that want to have a more quiet, peaceful experience in the winter front country and back country. It's not just about the wildlife and the bison conflict with snowmobiles. There's a variety of different factors that come in. And that's why I think the Park Service should be praised for taking these steps, because the leadership is certainly not coming from the city of San Francisco, where their viewpoint is, and Sally, I think you mentioned this, is acknowledging that there's a concern, but trying to displace it. Let's not have it on my land. Let's put it on someone else's. That doesn't really deal with the fundamental underlying issue here.
Ironically, that's the same thing that the GGNRA is saying, is just put it all in the city parks.
There's no data to support that that's going to happen. And I think the important thing here that we need to that the Park Service should focus on is in the city of San Francisco too, is how do we reform this unsustainable status quo where anything goes and it comes to the detriment of other users of city, county, state, parkland. These are public lands.
Well, let me read actually an email from a listener who raises a curious point. Bob writes, and I go to you on this, Howard Levitt. I, like a lot of other dog owners, take my dog to the beach in early and late hours, even to beaches that have dog and leash rules in place. Do any of the agencies have discussions about allowing dogs off leash during non-peak hours? If so, what's the status of such conversations?
We did consider the option of time restrictions, times when dogs could be off-leash, times when there'd be no dogs. One of the challenges, and I think Neil may have alluded to this, is that it's really unclear to people now what the rules are.
Right.
And one of the goals of this plan is to create an understandable set of rules. Time restrictions are almost inherently fuzzy. So if I arrive at 10:15 and there's a 10:30 time limit, Am I going to feel I've had enough time, or have I arrived ahead of time? Am I violating the rule? It's just much clearer, really, and more manageable to say one way or the other. Yes, dogs can be here off leash. Yes, they can be here on leash. Or no, they can't be here. That makes management simpler. And at the end of the day, we're going to depend upon people supporting the plan and wanting to do the right thing. But we have to help set the table for that by creating a plan that's as clear as it can be.
Do you have the resources to enforce the plan?
That's a wonderful question in these days of sequester. We have forecast additional costs that will be involved, and they could be substantial. We also can redeploy our existing resources in certain ways. But once we finally implement a rule, and we're still probably a good year and a half out from that at a minimum, we still have a rulemaking process, which will itself have public comment involved with it. But at the end of the day, we will certainly have to mobilize to provide the support for it.
And actually, in the SEIS, they actually forecast $2.5 million a year to implement this. So that's substantial.
I want to read a few more emails here. Sorry. Judy writes, I live near Baker Beach and have used it with my two dogs for the past 10 years. I have seen less than 5 conflicts in those 10 years. The vegetation is well fenced. Dogs stay away from it. There are no endangered bird species nesting on the beach. China Beach is 5 minutes walk away from those individuals who want a dog-free experience. Yet GGNRA wants to eliminate off leash at Baker Beach with no evidence for why this is necessary, despite repeated public feedback that is overwhelmingly opposed to GGNRA's proposed restrictions. They have shown no flexibility. I hope the city can find a way to take back our parks and use them in the manner that the majority of the residents want them used. And Ann says, I want to say that I'm very pleased with restricted dog access. When I am out in the wild, I want the dogs that I encounter to be under control. Too many times they are not. Dogs should be under control, and too often dog owners have no understanding of how their dogs appear to people who do not know them. And Anne writes, the dog proponent is saying that the park is barred to dog owners if their dog is not allowed. This is blatantly false. Also, just because there are not reported violations does not mean that there aren't incidents that impede non-dog people's enjoyment of the park. Keep your dog on a leash. Okay. I'm getting a lot of questions about enforcement, as I suppose we might have been able to anticipate. Let me get another caller on here. Phoenix is our next caller. Hi.
Hi, Phoenix Featherstone, and I want to thank you guys for having this chat. I also want to thank Sally Stevens for finally admitting that there's no environmental impact study to warrant the GGNRA closing the parks. And so I'd like to know what environmental impact study there was to warrant such harsh restrictions on the dog walkers. Right.
This keeps coming up here. Howard Levitt, are there any environmental impact reports that you can point to or that you can cite here?
Well, we're in the middle of a 12-year environmental planning process that's leading us to the plan that's currently being proposed. There are examples and studies and documentation of damage and threats to wildlife, both here and outside this park. But really, the essence of the plan, and I think it's reflected in the passion of the callers today, is how do we create a variety of experiences for people who want to visit this park with dogs on leash, with dogs off leash, and with no dogs. We've had many, many reports, and we've gotten letters and comments of people who no longer go to major areas of the park, Fort Funston, Baker Beach was mentioned, simply because they know that they will have to have a dog experience and they don't want to have that.
And you're listening to Forum. We're talking to Howard Levitt, Sally Stevens, and Neil Desai. This is a fundraising period for KQED Public Radio. For more information about how to support KQED, go to kqed.org. I'm Michael Krasny. I'm going to go to another caller, and that's John. Good morning.
Hi, Michael.
Yes.
Hi. So I live at the intersection of Golden Gate Park and Ocean Beach. I'm actually here right now with my dog. And the problem that I see in terms of park destruction is less due to dogs and more due to the homeless population. And I'm wondering if we could have any comments on that.
Howard Levitt.
Well, at Ocean Beach, we do propose an off-leash area from Stairwell 21, which roughly corresponds with a beach chalet going north to Kelly's Cove. That would be proposed for voice control off-leash use. And then south of that, it becomes a very sensitive snowy plover area, and your dog would have to be on leash on the promenade.
But he's also saying that the homeless are more of a problem.
Well, yes. We have our law enforcement team is looking at that and addressing it around the park as they become aware of it. And so they've had some very active operations to try to deal with the homeless problem.
John Paul asked, should the size of a dog be a factor? I know my 10-pound dog causes much less damage than an 80-pound dog.
That proposal came up. Let's allow small dogs and let's severely restrict large dogs. And we realized that was going to be a sort
as the owner of large dogs, I find that out and out discrimination.
Well, you'll be happy to hear that we didn't take that approach.
I think safety is an issue. Fort Funston years ago was a place. I know somebody who grew up near there, and his mother would not allow him there because there was only homeless people and flashers that were in Fort Funston. And then all the dog people started coming walking there. Drug dealers and the flashers went somewhere else. Safety is an issue. And when a well-used park is a safe park, and the majority of users of the GGNRA are, in fact, people with dogs. And it's also with Ocean Beach. They want two-thirds of
Howard
Ocean
Levitt
Beach.
Howard Levitt shaking his head. Yeah.
I think if Sally says the majority of park users are people with dogs, I think she's incorrect on that.
That
in fact,
incorrect.
I know she's incorrect on that.
Well, my experience, certainly, that has been the case. But I think that keep in mind
anecdotal, Sally.
Yes, exactly. Anecdotal. Ocean Beach, they want to manage two-thirds of Ocean Beach as a bird sanctuary. This is a major beach in San Francisco, a city of 800,000 people. They're going to force all of the dogs in the top one-third, which is almost asking for conflict when you put people in a congested area. You know, it's not just the dog people. In November of 2011, there's a surfing competition that was going to be held, a pro surfing competition, and they almost had to cancel because the GGNRA took an attitude of, we won't allow the personal watercraft, the jet skis, to tow the surfers around, which happens in every other competition, because if we do it here, then we'll have to do it in some other national park. And that was just so they ultimately allowed a single jet ski with a ranger for safety reasons. But that was, you know, and then there were some body surfers who got inspired by the pro surfers, and they decided to have their own little competition, and they were stopped by a park ranger. You're in the wildlife protection area. This is this idea of, it's not really just the dogs and people with dogs that are being forced out, but they really want to manage the GGNRA lands for this backcountry visitor experience.
Now, Howard Levin.
Well, We are a very recreation-friendly park, and I think if Sally's wanting to promote a theory that we're about terminating recreation in the park and eliminating people's opportunity to have fun in a variety of ways in the park, then she's completely off base.
Let's bring another caller in, and that's you, Diana. Good morning. Or Dana, excuse me.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I had a very shy dog who was really afraid of a lot of things. And the only place that I could really take her that she really had a great time was Fort Funston. To see her running off leash and enjoying being a dog for one of the only times in her life was one of the greatest experiences of my life. And it would be such a shame to be able to have to lose that type of experience for people like me.
I think Howard's saying you won't have to lose that experience.
I am saying that. We have two major off-leash areas proposed at Fort Funston, in the uplands and on the beach. And so you can continue to have that experience.
But if you take the total number of dogs that are there now and force them into these significantly smaller spaces, it's not going to be the same experience.
We're going to have to leave it there. Thank you all for being with us this morning. Hope things get under control where the dogs are concerned, and I hope this plan will at least please as many as it can in whatever compromise form it comes through. Again, I want to remind you that there will be public comment, an opportunity for you. There are three public meetings and 90 days. That closes on the 4th of December. Thanks to Sally Stevens from San Francisco Dog Owners Group, to Neil Desai from the National Parks Conservation Association, and Howard Levin from the Golden Gate National Recreation Area. Thanks to you, and thanks to our senior editor, Dan Zoll, and our producers, Judy Campbell, Irene Noguchi, Tina Larberg, engagement producer, Amanda Stupai. Our engineer is Danny Bringer. Our executive producer is Raul Ramirez. For all of us here at KQED, I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation, and by a generous gift from Jan Schrem and Maria Minetti Schrem, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.